Holy God, through the generations you have spoken to us. You have sent voices crying out in the wilderness. You have sent the words of an overjoyed new father and an expectant mother. You have sent the assurance of the condemned man on a cross. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that by the power of your spirit, we might hear the words you speak to us today. Amen. Today's reading comes from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our inequities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, for you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And do not forget the iniquities, all that he has done for us. I told Jack and his family yesterday that today I'm just going to come talk to you. Because sometimes, you know, you prepare, and then something happens in your life and just throw you off and just So that could distract you. So it's one of those things that happened between Friday and Saturday. We are dealing with something in our family right now, and it's just a lot. I'm going to talk with you today. And as you hopefully we can see how God has been at work, because one of the things I must say, God said we should, you know, give us a spirit to be a witness. On Friday, Anne texted me. She's getting ready to go back home. She did go back home yesterday. She left like 3 o'clock in the morning. And she let me know that she needs to see me, because the Lord woke her up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said she's to come and anoint me. I've never had somebody anoint me. In a long time, I haven't had someone to anoint me. I've done that to many of you. But in obedience, Friday night, she came to my house and did exactly, the Lord was very specific in what he said for her to do, to take the oil, pour some frankincense in it, and then anoint me. And she did. And she prayed over me and Peter. Not knowing, I said to her, I feel like something's about to come down in my world, so thank you for that. By the next day, I knew what that something was. But God, in his wisdom, used his people, you and I, for his glory. Amen? We serve a real God who still chooses to speak to us, still chooses to be among us, to his whole word and to his spirit. We started this series, Power of Thanks, 2 weeks ago, and out of 1 Thessalonians, one verse, verse 18 in the first chapter, reminding us, in everything we give thanks. No matter what we're going through, we give thanks. Amen? In the suffering, we give thanks. In the pain, we give thanks. Everything, no exclusion. Not just for the nice things that happen. If you can pause and give thanks in the pain, in the suffering, that's when you know you can trust God and in faithfully trust God with what he's about to do. Can I get an amen? I'm going to need your help today. Can you tell? And then last week, basically at the end of that sermon, I basically told you that your thanksgiving is not something that happens in a moment. It's something that's continuous, instantaneous and continuous. So therefore, your thanksgiving should become thanksgiving. Remember that? And then Anne came last week. Bless her heart. I love her voice. She just soothes me. So it was good to sit there and just get to be ministered to. She used an analogy of 911, taking us to Psalms 91, verse 1, reminding us that whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, reminding us in God, everything we do is for God. It's not about us. Our thanksgiving is for God. And today I'm going to tell you that's the power in thanks when we keep God in the forefront of it. Why we do it, why we live is for God. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Do it. It's not about you. Don't be afraid to talk to one another. It's not about you. It's about God. You know, we raise our children to say thank you when you receive something. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Felicia was up, and I'm always asking for a cup of tea in the house. And I nonchalantly asked for a cup of tea. I must have said please, because she actually acted on it. When she brought the teacup, then she took it away. And I gave her one of those, look. She said, you didn't say thank you. She took the cup away because we didn't say thank you. Paul, the Apostle Paul, often expressed some type of thanksgiving to those who receive in his letters. He recognized this power in thanks. To the Romans, he tells them, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. To the church at Corinth, he wrote, I give thanks to my God for always for you. In 2 Corinthians, he wrote, you always must help. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. In Ephesians, we hear he says, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippi, he writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In Colossians, he writes, we give thanks, God, when we pray to you. In Thessalonians, we give thanks always for all of you. 2 Thessalonians, we ought always to give thanks to God for you. In Philemon, he says, I thank my God always, excuse me, when I remember you in all my prayers. Needless to say, Paul is very thankful to those he ministered to. But if we listen carefully, we will notice this thankfulness for the believers in Christ, the object of our thanks is God. The object of all of those letters in there is God. And as followers of Jesus, we certainly must be thankful for everything that we get. In the Psalms before, Paul was very thankful to God and those around him. And what are you thankful for? Before I get into Psalms 109 a little bit deeper, last Wednesday, I had lunch with Paul, and we got talking about the prayer ministry that started here and the, you know, prayer life, our prayer life. We got in a deep conversation over salmon and vegetables, because we eat the same thing every time. But it led to, we're talking about the prior life, and he started talking about these days. His whole prayer is all about thanks. He's not even asking for anything, just giving thanks. How beautiful is that? So that gave me an idea today before I get in there. Maybe we want to share, what are some of the things that we give thanks for? I give thanks for just having fresh water to drink. I give thanks for having a roof over my head. I give thanks for the little food we eat. I give thanks for my children. They drive me crazy, but I give thanks for them. That's a thanks in everything. What do you give thanks for? Your grandchildren, amen. Waking up in the morning. Children and grandchildren, praise God. Anybody else? Your blessings, amen. Praise God. My sixth son is still with me. That's the Thessalonian blessing. Yes, amen. Six, I give thanks for the arthritis in my knees, because it reminds me to stop and pray. Amen, amen. And we could go on. we could go on and give the thanks for the God Almighty who forgave all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. I'm thankful for everything in my life. This psalm that Press read so eloquently, 22 lines representing the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, is one of the humblest psalms you're going to hear in the entire book. It starts off about blessing the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his iniquities, all his benefits. This song we sing, we're telling was the first song we sang was based on the first five verses of this verse, chapter, this psalm. Remind me, say 10,000 reasons, because that's what Psalm David is doing. He's telling you, bless the Lord. And then he gives you some practical reasons and same ones that you call out, practical reasons why we should bless the Lord. And let me tell you what the blessing is. That blessing comes with a thanksgiving. That's how you bless the Lord, with our praise and thanksgiving. Our whole life should be a life of praise and thanksgiving. Our life is no worship, is not this. Your whole life should be worship. Amen. Everything about you should say worshiping God. Sometimes we think we just come here and this is when we worship. Your entire life should be an expression of worship to God. That you can't bless God. He's everything. God don't need your blessing. You can bless him. What is David is telling us, he said, to my soul. If you read it, you realize David is talking to himself, his soul. He realized something not right. Whatever he's doing in his worship is not enough. He's crying, summoning his soul to turn it around, do more for God. It's a call to inner self. Rise up. Turn up the volume. You bless the Lord with your praise and your thanksgiving. And I'm going to add, your whole life is a praise and thanksgiving to God. He is the subject of all that. Can I get an amen? Are you hearing it this morning? Everything that we think we're doing, we need to turn it up. Because out there is where the worship continues. The way you live should speak Jesus. The way you respond to people should speak Jesus. Because his steadfast love and mercy is with you. You read through the psalm, when it lists all the things that he is, not to forget the benefits, the whys. He starts with the sin, our iniquities. We need to start recognize that we sin every day and be so in tune with the Holy Spirit convicting us that we will know what is it we sin. We will know how to identify how I was not like Christ today. Because the Spirit, remember your justifying grace we talk about? When you get justified by grace, you know it makes you conscious of the sins in our lives. He started with what was important. It wasn't by chance, the order of it. Deal with the sins in our lives. Then he talks about the healing. We all need healing, whether in the physical or the spiritual. He takes care of that. Then he goes down, take care of your diseases. Who redeems? When we hear the word redeems, that should bring you like foreshadowing. It's almost prophetic. Foreshadowing Jesus who came and redeemed us. The whole entire Bible story is about a redemption story, isn't it? From Genesis to Revelation. But in here, you could see the foreshadowing of Jesus who is to come to redeem us once and for all. Sinners. Put us back in a right relationship with God. This is called atonement, at one meant with God. That's the act that Jesus Christ, this is the steadfast love and mercy that the loving kindness this Psalms is telling us about, and that God has done through his son Jesus Christ is just that, giving his loving kindness and steadfast love to the death of his son. So you and I may have life. You give God praise for that. You give thanks for that. Amen. This psalm is powerful. Some of the commentators said it's one of the most noblest. One even said it's the most profound evangelistic poems in the entire Bible. We give thanks. Just imagine a child telling their parents thank you without being prompt. Imagine that child being overwhelmed with thanks that they desire to serve their parents greater things. Perhaps they will offer to cook for you, clean for you, or mow the grass for you. What do you think that will do to a heart of a parent? In Colossians 3:17, we hear these words. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Giving what? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. And when we look at Luke 17, 18 to 19, we see that our genuine praise and thanks to God without being prompted is a joyous thing to God. When we do this thank you automatically, it's give God joy. Yes, it's a messy world out there, my friends. Messy and broken, and sin is roaming rampant and the devil is out there busy. I can testify to that this weekend. Trauma from disasters is real. Being discouraged is understandable these days. But I echo Ed Stetzer's reminder in one of his blogs, where he said, but as followers of Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. Because God sent his son that though the world is broken and hurting, it won't always be that way. Hallelujah. We have an untouchable source of hope that reminds us our life on this earth isn't the end. It's the beginning. If Christ is who he says he is, we can certainly think of things to be thankful for today. Amen. This psalm teaches us how to live a life of gratitude. A life of gratitude. And when we look into Hebrews 2:3, he's telling us it's the gratitude of our salvation. It's the path of our salvation. We get to be gratifying God through our praise because God has chosen to save our wretched soul. It teaches us to understand the fullness of our gifts from God. from preservation of life to the forgiveness of sins, as a great unity, and to before God with thanksgiving and praising him for them. The great creator gives us life and sustain us for Christ's sake. Dietrich Bonhoeffer will tell us. There are some things I want you to remember to be thankful for. Create a list of things you are grateful for every day, every week. Select one thing to be thankful for every day. Before your family goes to bed or you go to bed, talk about something to God or to one another of something you're thankful for. Share your thanks with somebody else. I am thankful for my child this day. Thankful for this. Share it. Those of you who have playlists, create a playlist on your phone of thankfulness. The top of the one could be one we sing this morning. Set daily reminders in your lives, in your day, to be thankful. Because when we be thankful, that's how, and give thanks, that's how we bless the Lord with our praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock, our redeemer, and our strength. Amen.